as Kathy said, this is the Planning and Economic Development Committee. My name is Cynthia DeLostrinos Johnson, and I am the new chair of this committee for 2022. This is also the first time that I've served on this committee. I'm very excited about it, but I guess it's just Derek and Brandon. You guys already know me. And Lisa, I see you here. Thank you so much for joining us. We have sort of a short agenda tonight, but I think really exciting things to discuss. And so I will go ahead and, Hi, Mohammed. I think you might be in the wrong meeting, though.
Oh, wrong meeting. Okay, sorry, guys.
Yeah, the other one. But it's good to see you.
Hey,
I hope your meeting goes well.
No. Wait, you guys.
We can help you, Lisa.
Yeah.
You need a link or something for the next meeting?
Lisa, you're on mute, but if we definitely want you to stay if this is where you want to be, but if you wanted to be in the transportation committee, that's another link, and I'm sure we could.
Am I unmuted now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I would love to join you guys, but the system automatically connected me to this meeting because you know I want to be in that transportation meeting. So next time, let me get out of here. I'm sorry I interrupted, and see if I can shift over.
Okay. And we're happy to help if you still are experiencing issues, because we want to make sure that you get to where you want to go.
Well, I'll either pop back up again.
Okay.
Let me get out of here.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Okay. I thought more people were interested in what we were doing, but that's okay. We are.
This is a great committee.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. I will save my miscellaneous for another meeting. Maybe I'll just bring it up to you two tonight, but I do have a miscellaneous that, but we'll just see where we are with time. Derek, you are the first item on our agenda, the Economic Development 2022 Work Plan Briefing. So go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, Chair DeLostrinos Johnson. And yeah, unfortunately, I guess starting out, maybe that's chased people away. We hopefully it won't do that in the future. But Brandon and I are very happy to have this committee, get a chance to work with this committee, and so we are excited about it. This first item, all this is really however much time you would like to devote to this first item. All we've done is, we've done this the last couple of years where we provide a copy of our annual work plan to the committee and open for discussion. I know Councilmember Hogarth has seen this kind of thing for the last couple of years. And so it's really, I'm happy to go down and touch anything that you would like to know more about. I think maybe to save time, I won't go through line by line. Maybe you just kind of scroll down and ask whatever you want. And Brandon's obviously on the call too. This is a combined work plan of like what he and I are working on. And so some of them may be ones where he'll be answering the questions on them. The ones on this work plan that are related to Experience Tukwila, or where it says lodging tax and tourism, most of those are going to be covered by Brandon's presentation later in the meeting, because he has a whole separate item on tourism. And I guess I would just note there's a couple small things, like there's asterisks on some of them. Those are the ones that we're trying to show you what are sort of the highest priority items that in terms of what we work on. The other items, we just try to get at them when we can. And then, of course, this is always in a state of flux. So as the year goes on, usually things will pop up. And then what we will try to do is we try to add them. So you're always welcome to ask us if you want to see what the current work plan is And with that, I mean, do you want to just you lead as chair and just?
I think going into question, just, you know, going around, seeing if there's any questions would be good. So I will start with Councilmember Hogarty.
Okay, I've got a few that are highlighted here. And what I'd like you to do is to let me know if you're going to be having some information on this in the near future so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. So I'm going to start with the coordinator of the TPA Tourism Promotion Area Review. Are we going to hear more about that later, or can you just give us super high level a little bit more information about that?
Yeah, that will be coming back to committee. That was in committee last year and the year before. The idea was, and this might be more for Councilmember Dillis Johnson. The tourism promotion area is a $2 per room night fee on the hotel room stays, and the cities of Tukwila, SeaTac, and Des Moines combine all that money, and that money goes to the Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority, and they use it for marketing to attract visitors. And the review was, it's been about, last year had been 6 years since that TPA agreement got formed. And so the review was working with the other two cities to look at, well, okay, it's been 6 years. Should we change anything? You know, how is it going? And so City of SeaTac is really the lead organization for all of this. And so their staff have been leading this. Brandon and I have been participating and providing a lot of input and feedback. And so that is going to come back to committee in more detail about, well, what are the results? At the moment, you know, as staff, we're not seeing any huge changes that would be sort of like, you know, over in SeaTac, there were some concerns about, oh, is Tukwila trying to get out of the TPA like that? And that's not, we're not, you know, so it's more of trying to make sure it's really more effective. And Mark Everton there, if you haven't met Mark Everton, you know, he's been working very well with us, and Brandon can talk more about some of that later. So, Councilmember Hogarty, is that enough of a cover for now?
That's enough. Absolutely. Okay. So then the next one is the economic development plan, and including the equity and social justice, which could be in that discussion. Are you coming back to us with that in the next few weeks?
Yeah, it'll be in February sometime, okay. But say by the end of February with some sort of a general outline of the process and seeking your feedback on the process and the outreach approach and, you know, yeah.
Great. Managed city policy for Tukwila South. What does that mean?
Brandon, can you weigh in on that one? Brandon's the lead on that side on that project.
Yeah. So, last year, maybe at the end of 2020, we decided that it would be good if the city dedicated a specific staff person to issues related to Tukwila South. And so that was arranged with me serving as a staff person for coordinating issues related to Tukwila South. And in fact, it's 25% of my staff time is paid for in a reimbursement agreement from Sigali. So I serve as a conduit and as a lead as questions come up, because we really want to prioritize getting new development down there. And so that's kind of been my role.
Okay. Yes.
I would like to add on that. It doesn't mean that Brandon overrides other departments. So, like, it doesn't mean he gets to tell DCD what the residential design guidelines are, but he participates in that and helps guide that, right, Brandon?
Yeah, thanks, Derek. Yeah, so, you know, I help facilitate a decision. I will give input on decisions, but I am not a decision maker. I know economic development would like to say that we can make decisions on this kind of stuff, but we do not have that authority. So.
Okay. So the next one would be on the next page, position Tukwila Village Community Development Associates for self-sufficiency. Are we going to hear more about that, or what's going on there?
Yeah, we don't have a plan to brief you with more on that. Basically, what that means is get me out of providing support for the nonprofit there, but we can't really pull me out without them struggling. I mean, it's been struggling already for years. They don't have any assigned, they don't have any staff. And so we're trying to get it so I can pull out of that. The city never had a goal of having ongoing city staff providing staffing for that organization. It's supposed to be a standalone nonprofit. But we certainly can provide an update if this committee would like an update to understand all that. I mean, we'd love providing that update so you can understand how all that works. I hear things where the community does not really fully understand the different parties and, you know, the property owner and, you know, how things work up there. And so I would love to make sure people do understand that, because really you're the keepers of the city's interest. And so being able to know this is a resource that's intended to help the city for the next 40 years. There's going to be a lease up there for 40 years. And we're actually in the process. We just had a board meeting this afternoon we're almost there at the end of February to contract with a company called Independent Living that Brian Park really, you know, runs to do the venue management. They'll actually handle rentals and all that and finally get a website. People can go to the website and do rentals and reservations. But we're happy to provide an update if you would like any kind of an update on that.
Okay, Cynthia, maybe we can talk about that
I would like an update just because you've been providing support and, you know, I don't think it makes most sense for you to continue, at least in my, like in your role, it doesn't seem like, you know, utilizing your time in that way is the best, but I do think it's an important place in our city and I'm interested in getting an update on where we are with that at least.
I am too.
When would you like how soon would you like that?
What makes sense to you, like understanding where things are right now. I mean, you described something that may be coming up. But, you know, it's a budget year and I don't, you know, maybe it's something we want to look at.
Well, and I also think it's, let me acknowledge from here. Something with, if there's a plan in an efficient way where we can cover whatever commitments associated with that, I think you're best to assess that and then bring that back to us, you know, kind of for a review and action. And if you want to keep doing it, then write a really poor report.
Okay, we will come back to you probably late in the third quarter. I mean, first quarter, late the third month of this year, maybe March, with an update. And a question there is, would you like to meet all the board members? The one thing that before the pandemic, I had really hoped to bring the board to the full council and people just introduce you. I mean, you know some of the board members already, but you may not know every single one. And then provide them some of that visibility. Do you have any interest in that, or is that kind of too much time?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to waste their time in committee. Not that like three of us aren't really cool, whatever. But if I think it would be great for the whole, like, I don't know, see if Laurel can bring it in front of Tom as a committee of the whole agenda item, but bring the memo to us first of like where things are, so that we can kind of see if there's any action out of it that our committee might recommend, in addition to the committee of the whole introduction of the board members.
Great. Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll check with Laurel and Councilmember Cloud on that and see if there's interest in that. That makes sense to have, you know, and it could just be a very short introduction. One thing is, since we've got you on this topic, I personally would really love to see us add a couple more board members. Right now, it's only a 7-member board. One board member is on extended leave. And so it would be really good if we could get a couple more board members. And we really need to have somebody that can speak Spanish and understands the Tequila Latino community. We have nobody on the board that's making that connection whatsoever. I don't know who to reach out to. we tried a few years ago to bring somebody on that would have been excellent, but that person was just too busy. So like that, it'd be great to have somebody that's a little bit in, maybe like in their 20s that was part of the Tukwila school system, so understand. So a younger person is not in school, but understands the Tukwila school system and how to connect with people. We right now we have, you know, our folks are more on the seniors side of things, and we need to kind of balance that up. So, if you have any suggestions, let me know.
Yeah, there's a graduate from the Teams for Tukwila who's at the University of Washington, and she's always coming back. She's amazing. She was a leader on Teams for Tukwila. Kathy, she went to D.C. with us, and I saw her this summer. So that might actually be a because she did that, and now she's, you know, doing UW stuff and coming back to the community. I think it would be really good.
If you don't mind just emailing me an introduction to her or something, that would be great. We'll follow up with that. And then as a reminder, you know, the city does have a appointed position that the city gets to appoint. And, you know, last year the council expressed interest in being involved in that. My understanding is this December, my understanding is, you know, Laurel checked with the council members. Everybody was too busy at this moment to, you know, take on that role. So the mayor is filling it for another year. If that changes, you know, let us know. So, and just because of that doesn't mean we couldn't add another, you know. So anything else on that topic?
No, and I'm just going to do one more because we've got two more council members to go through. So this is my last one. Support SRO development agreement.
Brandon, that's Brandon's project. You want to?
Yeah, so the council was briefed, I believe, early last year, 2021, regarding the SRO development. So this is the old Lewis and Clark Theater up off of just south of 518. It's just over 50 acres. DCD and the city and economic development have been working with them on a potential redevelopment. The key aspect is that Sound Transit, when they run BRT, Bus Rapid Transit along 518, we've been working with Sound Transit to extend the Ped Bridge so it goes all the way over 518, not just stopping in the median. And so that's just economic development is helping coordinate that. There's some issues with the city of SeaTac, of course, because all the roads there are actually SeaTac's roads, not ours. So this is a long-term vision. They have a long-term lease with Ascendant on that property, but they are looking at things that they could do in the future that includes housing, including some affordable housing units, office, retail, a hotel, but it's very long in the future, and this would definitely have some touches. We need to come back to the council with an update, and that would be probably by the springtime.
That's it. So thank you for those. I have questions about all of them, but we don't want to be here all night. So thank you,
Councilmember Quinn.
Kathy asked all my questions. No, but she did ask some good ones that were on my list. So I'm just going to do a rapid fire if you're okay with it. One is I'm very happy to see the facilitate Baker Boulevard for festivals and events. And if I don't mention something, it's because Kathy already mentioned it. For example, the economic development plan, the timeline, but, I would be interested, because I think this is tied to economic development, and it just matters what, you know, how she'll do her presentation. But I think Nora should come and give a sense of, you know, permitting and kind of the business side of the process, not necessarily just not the code enforcement, but the business side. How are we looking? How are we doing? One thing that I think is interesting under policy that I'd like to see, and I will balance out this because of my day job, but I think that the city's regional transportation policy and advisory, I think we should consider, and this isn't my idea, this is an idea that has been discussed with residents and some from Allentown, but identifying grant writers for us to go get money we don't have for these big transportation projects that we need. And that might be something then later we can fold into the budget process if necessary. But ideally, it should be a priority for the city, just knowing that constant lack of funding in transportation, that we actually might need a grant writer to be competitive in the spaces of PSRC and other places. So I would just throw that out. I really think we should do that because we don't have any money right now. And we're even thinking about potentially if there's a alternative access, there's no money for that. So how do we get to a place where there is money? We can't just keep using the same strategies that we've had with the limited amount of staff, but no investment in those spaces. And then a grant writer could also help us in other things as well. We were able to do the crosswalks, but maybe we need sidewalks. And we all know there's no money for that. So maybe there's a grant writer that could identify funds out there in those spaces. So under the piece around attraction, and I think this ties into the coordinate land sales, like the old Allentown Fire Station, and Derek, you know, we've talked about this, but, you know, I'd like to see something on this list, and maybe it goes under another category, but to be specific as possible, which is identifying really kind of unique projects associated with kind of either the community or small businesses, because we got little boutique ideas that if there was just a little assistance, they may get off the ground, right? But they kind of just die on the vine. And then the other thing is maybe a briefing or an update on kind of the new businesses, right? Because there's been businesses that have gone away, but new businesses that are amazing and become community attractions. So getting a sense, kind of like an economic state of affairs for 2022, knowing that there's a pandemic. And then if there's any policies associated with like having to be nimble, like businesses have had to be, whether it's outside dining, you know, being able to ramp up that permit side of it so that there aren't any barriers to them staying in business and still having the review and the kind of audit process that we provide. And then I think the last thing I had, oh, this is a big one. So, Chair, if you forgive me, but it's so funny with all the reimagining with the pandemic and other things, like you end up having life experiences. And in this case, I went to go get an eye exam and new pair of glasses at the Corner Bakery, 12 noon in the middle of the day. And I got my eye exam and I came out and my window was broken. Some things were stolen out of my truck and my door was bent and I actually had to call the police. But I say all this to say, I engage with one, you know, and you know, in that block, there's a 360 view. So when somebody was seen, it's probably the state of affairs, and there's no debate here. Like there's been some interpretations, which then have led to some depolicing and some emboldened criminal activity. But what I found was that the tenants of that building said that they used to have security and they used to have security cameras, but the owner decided to do away with it. So, for example, if you go to Safeway, there's that blue light flashing, there's cameras. Hey, folks, there's cameras here. Do not break in. And we all know this is related to economic development, because if folks can't go in the middle of the day to go get their glasses or go get a muffin, we got a real problem. And so is there a potential opportunity for a partnership until this stuff gets resolved at the legislature of what's the minimum investment that businesses are making to make sure that the folks that come and patronize those places, there are some options. And that also includes, you know, this is the same conversation I would have with Chief Drever, like being short on people or challenges, like a recommendation for businesses could be, hey, make this investment because in the end, you're not getting cars broken into. So I something about safety and economic development, and so kind of a nod, because I could have easily had Braxton in the car and they would main, because he likes to stay in the car and play his tablet. They could have easily broken that while he was in there. And so I think it's fair to say in this time of the level of uncertainty, is there a potential standard? So if we don't have the bodies, maybe we have the views. Maybe we have those investments. And it was funny because this place was like, yeah, that's scary, and I'm concerned, and we were concerned as tenants that cutting costs or doing away with security was problematic because there's so many cars and there's so many stores and all that. So long story, sorry. I hope it was informative.
And that's for now. That's very meaningful, and safety is obviously a huge part of economic development. You know, we don't really manage the safety ourselves, but we'll talk to Chief Drever about what you said and figure out, you know, what makes sense. It may not be this committee. It may be the Community Safety and Services Committee or something. But in the short term, I mean, Brandon, you do have a good contact. That's Regency Centers that manages that property, so he can reach out to that property, and they're a reputable property owner, so it'd be really interesting to find out from them what's going on, and you know, we can work with, you know, a local Zach Anderson and PD that does community outreach, and you know, figure out if PD's already working with them or what's happening.
Right. I'd rather have that response than, you know, the new law says we can't follow up. And then there's nothing for the people to deal with. And so, like, there's that blue light thing by the bagels and a factory over there. So I know, you know, it's a choice, but maybe we need to have a strategy. I think the last thing with this was a follow-up to what you said. Is, you know, the smash and grab and all that, versus people saying, well, either I'm not going to go to South Center, or they're going to say, I'm going to go to South Center, but I'm going to be armed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it's a priority in these spaces as we talk about economic development. And it's an acknowledgement, hey, right now times are funny, and we need to be willing to meet the challenge with at least a baseline of, you know, just like police officers, and I'll finish. Police officers have said, like, hey, if there's been a burglary in a neighborhood, and Kathy knows this well, like, the neighborhood groups, they would say, look, honestly, get some cameras. Get a dog. And to me, like, cameras and coordinations of cameras in a neighborhood is a healthy conversation. Versus it's a free-for-all, and we're not going to be communicating with our neighbors, and I'm just going to do my own protection, and we are a community. And so I think it would be good to kind of also join in with these businesses to say it is a economic development interest to have some safety, and it doesn't necessarily have to fall all on police officers, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Thanks, Deshaun. Okay. My first question is, this is what I get for everything is digital. Okay. The land sales, are all of those land sales related to the public safety plan financing? Are all of them like part of that? Only
they,
some of them?
Good. So yeah, are they all included in the financing plan for public safety plan? I'm looking at the list. Yes, my understanding. Yes, I would.
The Allentown one? I don't think so.
Which one?
Old Allentown Fire.
Well, right now, we've only been budgeting between $200,000 and $300,000 if we were to sell that property, because it's really, you could only, it's in single family zone. And you could either subdivide it, maybe get three lots. You could get two lots for sure, maybe three. So it probably would only sell for a couple $100,000 is my estimate. In public, I'll say $200,000 to $300,000, just so we show a higher number in case somebody wants to buy. We don't want them lowballing us. But because it's only a couple $100,000, I don't know if that particular one is in the public safety plan financing. We can double check and find out. I think they all are, including that one, but I could double check to be sure.
I was just wondering, because it would be different if we were having a discussion about, you know, what to do with that property, just as Deshaun had mentioned, in terms of like, you know, is community, are we interested in launching something with the community related to, you know, economic development. I know I talked to some folks about in that area wanting to create like a WeWork type situation, or a ice cream shop, or a, you know, something for that neighborhood. So I would be interested in, you said, Derek, for sure that this one is part of the financing plan, or?
I'm like 90% sure it's part of the financing plan, but I would just say, regardless of whether it was part of the financing plan or not, if the council would like to go down a different path, because I don't think $200,000 is going to sway the financing plan. Like as an example, with George Long, we're going to be bringing in $2 million more than what was in the budget for the public safety financing plan. The New Porter will probably come in higher than what we were budgeting. So I wouldn't worry about the, I mean, obviously, it's easy for me to say because I'm not the finance director, so we should, you know, work with Vicky. But I think the issue is on Old Allentown Fire Station, we did go to council a few years ago, so council did authorize us to sell it. However, we haven't done anything with it because it's a smaller dollar amount. We just keep deprioritizing it. So if the council wants to revisit that direction, then obviously we're open to it. But because it's in a single family zone neighborhood, a use other than like a park or city owned facility is very problematic. Brandon can talk about zoning better than I can, but I think it could be very problematic to put in some kind of a use there that's privately owned. Now, if it's a community use and there's that fits within single family zoning, that's a whole different story. Do you want to add anything, Brandon, to that?
Yeah, so the property zoned low density residential, a city, so that really limits it to residential uses. First, I will always say this, the city council controls the zoning. So, that's never a no-go. You can always choose to amend the code. There are some flexibilities for like institutional uses, so the city doing something on the property. The one thing I want to manage expectations on is that building itself is a teardown, so some people see the building. That building itself does not meet current fire code. It's not on sewer, actually. It's actually still on septic. So any type of rehab of that building would probably be better to tear it down and do something else with that building.
Thank you. And also on setting expectations, we can change the zoning. You can change the zoning. However, you can't legally spot zone, and there are other parcels in single family zone between that parcel and 124th. And so do you think those other property owners are going to want their area rezoned is a sticky wicket question that would come up.
Okay.
But if it were some kind of a park-like activity, or it's some city-owned property that it's, there's some kind of a, it's like a, oh, here's where some artists are doing some work or something, then that might be worth having the attorney and DCD looking at, well, what could be allowed within that LDR zone.
Okay. That was just an initial question, but thank you for the broad overview of what was happening. And yeah. Okay. Last question on this one is, the TIB rebranding. What are you guys thinking on that? Because, I've talked to at least one other council member about the whole rebranding of Tukwila International Boulevard as being sort of like this, it's turning into this, or it already is, an international place. There were ideas of putting flags on the flagpole and all of that. And so I'm just wondering, just generally, what are your guys' thoughts there?
So to be really upfront, that's not one that we are prioritizing right now, and so we're not actively working on it. In the past, like a few years ago, there was the question about flags. So we would have to be receiving direction to kind of prioritize that over something else that we're working on. Personally, over the last many years, I've heard so much consensus about a brand around international neighborhood. And so I think if we could wave a magic wand, I think it'd be great to figure out, we need a name for the neighborhood that's shorter than Tukwila International Boulevard. It's, you know, that road is used to be the dividing line between multiple neighborhoods. It was a separation between Thorndike and Riverton Heights. And if you go farther north on it, it's, separates Cascade View from Foster. And we need that road to now be the glue that pulls those communities together. And so it, you know, people don't go to some town and say, they want to know where Main Street is, and you need a name of that road and a name of that neighborhood. It's a challenging process because, you know, in the past, there've been some community members that would like to call it the Boulevard. Personally, I'm not sure that really is going to resonate with a lot of people from outside the area. But what would be a good name, and, how do we go about that? But we don't really have that. We're not actively working on that. Sometimes you can start by making incremental steps that feed into the long-term vision, even without having a name. Sometimes you don't have to start with the name. And so, like, if there's a group that wants to do international flags and there's resources to do international flags, that can start fueling that vision and that brand, even without the neighborhood name.
All right. Deshaun, did you have a question or addition?
Yeah, Cynthia, sorry, I forgot. I got caught up in my presentation before and forgot this important point. And I think that this falls square in the economic development. And so I asked this question for the hospital presentation, HealthPoint. This, with the pandemic and all that, this also may be an opportunity for us to leverage our dollars. I remember 2008, and just for reference, I go to SARS, but there's an opportunity for a grocery store. And I remember specifically talking, and they said, we don't have the economic median incomes to compete for a larger grocery store. And I believe... whether it be equity, whether it be access to healthy foods, I would actually love to see some work, because that then becomes, you know, woe is me in Tukwila, we can't get a grocery store. And they say we don't have the economic, but just think about the captive dollars that exist right now and what's coming and the city investments that we've made there. Can we leverage it to get a bigger grocery store chain in that space? And I personally think that's an economic development task that we could lean on y'all for. But I, again, remember very specifically, oh, well, you guys don't make, I mean, these are the economic analysis. And I would maybe argue that that is may no longer be applied that way, or corporate sensitivities would change that idea. And we've talked to Boeing about it, and they wanted to help leverage that. Oh, and, sorry. Last thing. There is actually funds from the BECU. They got a grant process for financial literacy, and I also sent it to the I also informed the council president, because that's an interest of his. So there are some opportunities that could benefit the city where we aren't necessarily expending significant amount of dollars. But to go back to the grocery store and leveraging and who we are as Tukwila, like I'd be interested in, like, can we now use it in our favor, because it's developed tenfold from where what it used to be.
So I know we're running tight on time, but I do want to, I know you get that question about grocery stores very frequently in the community, and I know a lot of the community members don't like SARS. A couple things while you're just talking to them is just, Greg Sar owns the property, owns the business. He's very happy with the business he's got going up there. So I think it's important to set expectations of, it's really not the city's. The city has no legal authority to tell Greg Sar, and we don't control that property. So we can't be like, hey, we're going to bring QFC into that site. And we have some community members, I think, that aren't quite, don't understand that. So then the issue is, well, if we go to, you know, PCC has been expanding in the region, you know, and I did reach out to PCC, but of course, you know, there's an income level that their food is super expensive. It's great, but it's super expensive. And it's like, I don't even go there. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, I'm a grocery outlet shopper. But so to get a grocery store up on TAB, any grocery store like is going to look at who's already serving there, and is there enough market that's that different? Or they look at, oh, well, Trader Joe's is already in Burien. It's a 10-minute drive. You know, so it's, you know, Trader, you know, those are going to want to locate 10 minutes away. Now, the South Center District might be different because it feels different. It's geographically, physically seems separated. The challenge we've had there over the years is grocery stores usually like to go in where there's a lot of rooftops, unless there's a special clientele. So like Seafood City was able to go into the mall because they are targeting the Filipino community. And so they know they've got a draw from so far away, or Lamb Seafood. They're targeting the Vietnamese community so they can draw from farther away. But we could do a study. You know, you can hire these very sophisticated firms that will give us a list of what market potential there is. You know, it's probably $25,000 to do that kind of a study and see. But it, just to be upfront, it's a challenging question. But it's true that some grocery store owners might reevaluate, like what Councilmember Kuhn was saying. They might look at it differently now than they did a few years ago, because people's expectations and thoughts about equity are changing.
I would just say, and I also pitched it to BECU and their redevelopment because of the ingress egress. If they had room there, a grocery store would be great, because people know they can get off the exit and get right back on the exit. And then the community knows they can go down there and they don't have to worry about South Center traffic. But that's it.
Sure.
All right. I promise.
And we're not, by the way, just, thank you. But Brandon, you'll hear Brandon and me talk about South Center sometimes. And sometimes community members they sometimes think that we're just, I've heard community members say, the city's just always doing everything for South Center. Like, we don't care about other neighborhoods. But I want you to know that is not how Brandon and I look at it. We just look at, where's the opportunity, and, you know, what do we think is realistically feasible? But thank you for your discussion. And if you want us to do that grocery store study, you know, we just need to find the money, and then we can see what the analysis says. But we will keep our eyes peeled, you know, like, we absolutely will keep our eyes peeled if there's any opportunities. The one thing I do recommend to people is, you know, if we had people, Greg Sar is reachable. You know, he's his own guy. He's a private business person, but he's reachable. He answers our phone calls when we call him. if we had a lot of community members that said, we would like to shop here, but we are not shopping here because we don't like XYZ. He wants customers. He wants them to keep coming in. And so if we had a way of putting that information together, he would at least listen. I can't say what he would do with the information, but he would definitely listen.
Thanks, Eric. Let's go ahead and move on in our agenda. Brandon, do you want to cover tourism 2022 work plan?
Yeah, so we can do it. I kind of have a little bit of a PowerPoint just to kind of show you some things. And I have a video I want to show you too, time permitting. I think you'll find the video exciting, something that we're investing in. So I'm just going to real fast share my screen. So can someone just confirm that my screen's up and running?
Yep, that's good.
They started doing subtitles on me, and I do not want to see myself talk. But okay, never mind. So quick update on our tourism plan. So we have – I just want to quickly remind us – the committee tonight about our outline of our tourism goals for 2022. There's going to be some stuff on the work plan that you will see. There will be further briefings, and if something requires a funding request, tonight does not – some of them are funded, some of them are not funded. Of course, it requires coming back to the council through the lodging tax process when needed. And then at the end, it's a separate agenda item, but just there is a funding request, and we're kind of – give you a little bit of a snapshot about some of the work that we've been doing year to date. Derek highlighted this as part of the question from Councilmember Hogarty regarding the TPA review. We did this last year at the end of 2020. We did a quick review for the council regarding lodging tax versus TPA fee. So as a reminder, the city council has authorized two tourism funding sources. The first is the lodging tax. This goes back to the late 90s, early 2000s. This is a 1% charge on eligible hotel, motel, and Airbnb stays in the city of Tukwila. This comes directly to the city of Tukwila after it goes through the Department of Revenue. It's economic development manages this. When you see us bring funding requests forward, we're using lodging tax funds for that. It's much broader how these funds can be used versus the TPA fee. The TPA fee is a $2 a room night fee with the other three cities, with the cities of SeaTac and Des Moines. It's only charged on hotels of 90 or above. Tukwila accounts for about 27% of the funds that were generated for the TPA in 2019. Our interlocal agreement has all of those funds going to Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority, and they focus on getting people from outside the 50-mile radius to come to the city. Lodging tax, and our lodging tax, at the end of 2020, we kind of set some basic principles as to how we want our lodging tax funds and our tourism funds to be used. So first is the TPA revenues would continue to go to Seattle Southside as part of our partnership with the other two cities. But that lodging tax, we would use it to market efforts to bring people to the city of Tukwila under the City of Seattle or Kent name, that we would use it to brand Tukwila. We would focus on destination development, such as tourism infrastructure, or events and festivals. And then finally, the city would control its own brand. So with that, we developed a six-year financial plan. I gave you a snapshot of it in your packet. It needs to be updated. We'll come back to you with a more in-depth discussion regarding updating that plan. That plan is, I'm stealing that from transportation planning, which is we're not authorizing any future expenditures. We just want to make sure we have money set aside, say, in 5 years for something good that we think might happen versus just spending our money now because we have the funds. So going through the list that's on that's in your packet. So first, our goal this year is to continue our partnership with Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority. As Derek noted, Mark Everton has joined. He took over for Catherine Kurtzman as the president and CEO. He has been great to work with. I think we see eye to eye on a lot of things related specifically to tourism destination development. It's not just all about advertising and marketing. It's how can we develop a great place for people to come and attend and visit. The next item is we want to continue expanding our Experience Tukwila brand. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in depth as part of that funding request, but this is something we started and we got up and running last spring. It's had great results, and we need to continue to grow it. The next is we want to continue our partnership with the Seattle Seawolves. You may have seen some news about a tenant at Starfire leaving to go to the city of Renton. You know, that's not been confirmed yet, but, you know, we have a great opportunity with the Seattle Seawolves who bring 50,000 fans to our community prior to the COVID pandemic, and we want to continue to grow that. They're very receptive of our brand, very supportive of helping us grow, and so we want to see how we can continue to partner with them. The next things that you see on the work plan, Spicebridge and Turner Art Mirror. Spicebridge, we're going to work with them on a mirror inside of their store that would be something that would be, we call, Instagram worthy. So we have the funds set aside in our operation budget where we can grant small funds without going through the whole lodging tax process. That's something that Spicebridge asked if we could help, and we certainly are going to get them some funds and help them get that up and running. It would help build our brand as well. In 2020, lodging tax supported the funding a master plan for Tukwila Pond. This is the first time they've ever kind of funded something like that. That master plan will be coming to – Parks is administering that master plan. That will be coming back to the council this year for a discussion and adoption. It's on our work plan. We don't see a lot of funds that we need to allocate this year for that. There's a lot of work we need to do that's kind of some soft work, which is working with property owners and businesses just to engage them about the vision and see how we can work with them as they redevelop their project, their properties. So some other things you see on the list. The Copa Surf Cup. This is a big tournament. If you have kids that play soccer, and Copa Surf Cup is one of the biggest tournaments down in San Diego. It's going to be having play-in tournaments. We will be hosting in June of this year. So we have that's already been approved by the council for funding. The other thing that we're setting funding aside for in our six-year plan is World Cup. So the United States, Canada, and Mexico will be hosting the 2026 World Cup. The city of Seattle has submitted bids to host some of those games. We should know in March if we're going to be hosting those matches. If we are selected, Starfire most likely would be one of the venues where the teams were trained. So think about a Messi. I don't think you'll be playing then, but those top players using Starfire and being in Tukwila. And so we want to have funds, and we want to be able to activate the city and welcome the world. If you're coming to if you're coming to Seattle for the World Cup, you're going to go through SeaTac, and then you're going to go through Tukwila. And so how can we welcome the world to Seattle?
We won't have to worry about people throwing bananas in games, because that's not how it works in the United States, or especially in Tukwila.
No, I don't think so. So the other thing, and this one we'll be coming back for more in-depth briefing probably in the next couple of meetings, is a wayfinding plan. Councilmember Quinn, I think we talked with you when you were chair of LTAC. This has been something we've been wanting to do, but the pandemic just knocked us down. It's not an issue of funding. We just haven't had the capacity to do it. We need to up our signage, and we need to have a coordinated approach to how we brand and market the city, especially in our tourism areas. My old football coach, when we would all be wearing different equipment, he would say we look like a bunch of pirates out there, and that's kind of what our signs look like. We have different designs, and there's no coordination between those signs. And this is not just the big signs. It's also signs on the trail system, signs on sidewalks that we can help navigate people and promote the city for when they're here. The other thing you see is we want to get back to our food truck rallies with the mall. The mall had some leadership transition last summer that made this a little bit difficult. Things are starting to kind of settle down over there, but we want to get back to supporting those food truck rallies. Art and South Center, so lodging tax for the last 2 years has helped pay for the art that you see in South Center. We have $75,000 allocated in the 6-year financial plan. We want to continue to do that, but we want to shift it a little bit different. Instead of it being bigger projects, we want to figure a way to get more money into smaller pots for artists. So the model I'm kind of looking at is the UW partnership, the U district. They provide a mural program of grant funds, and it's on private property. And I think that that's another way of just creating more variety of art and helping artists get their work out there. So we're going to kind of see if we can do that this year for South Center. It's actually a little bit cheaper, too, than what we did in the past. And this is an example of one of the murals up in the U district. So just going through kind of list, third-party event support. This is something we do in economic development. So like when we had the Rave Green Run, I help support that with staffing and coordinating it. We had the RuPaul drag race that was here last year. That's another example of an event that we help support. We've reached out to them to see if they would come back. The mall is hoping to bring in something called the Jurassic World Exhibition next December. It's in Dallas right now. This should be huge. From an admission tax standpoint, it would be a pretty nice chunk of change for the city. We're looking for ways that we can partner with the Museum of Flight in an ongoing capacity. And then the thing that we are doing some research on is a portable ice arena. So the City of Olympia and the City of Bellevue bring in these portable ice arenas. They're very well received. We want to work with the mall to see if this is something that we could do. And we would do it not in November or December because the mall does not have the parking to give up during that time. We were thinking January or February and also doing that as a way – because those are our slow months for retail. Our sales tax drops in January, February, so we're always looking for innovative ways to bring people to the city, because if we bring you here, you're probably going to shop or dine. So I think that covers that first, and I'm going to start sharing my screen, but happy to answer any questions related to the that tourism work plan.
Councilmember Hogarty.
It looks great. I'm just like, Jurassic World Exhibition. Wow, there's a lot of really cool things that I didn't even know about. So, yes, and we talked about some of it earlier. So, absolutely.
And I want to just comment on one thing Councilmember Quinn said related. In Derek's presentation, he talked about permitting. This is something that I think we offer. Special event permits are something that kind of fly under the radar, but the ability to easily get those events up and running helps set a tone for a community. And so these event producers, they do different events. And if you're known as a city that's easy to work with, they're going to bring more events to you. And the flip side happens if you're difficult to work with. And so Westfield South Center has been very supportive of bringing in new events like this. In the past, they had a different model of how they looked at it, but now they're looking at it as, we want feet on the streets. This brings in people. How can we support it in coming to our community?
I'll say one other thing about that, and that is that it just goes along the lines of what we saw, I don't know how many years ago, Jashawn, you were on the council at the same time because it's been a while, about how the shift down in the Tukwila Urban Center has gone from shopping to experience. And it happened, I think, fairly early on. And so in the last 10 years or something, iFly and all these different places came in. And so when you're talking about supporting these special events, it just shows that the experiential part of it is really, really continuing to grow. So that was my observation from that. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Councilmember Quinn.
Promise I'll be short, this one. I agree, and just to emphasize that, Brandon, thank you for bringing it up. I mean, our ability to be nimble is going to probably get us through all these times, and it has in the past. And then some of the things that you talked about is a lot different than Renton. And that's a competition that really doesn't exist because of the ability to move. But here's what I want to say specifically to this report, and also, you know, to really emphasize to other council members. Brandon, with this report, you're being consistent to what we said we would do for many, many years straight, and being kind of on LTAC and the push and pull, and it really helps, and I appreciate the consistency here, because it's what it's saying is that we do what we say we're going to do. And I think that to me, in a nutshell, encapsulates this report. And that also helps people who can't see the vision and can only just hang up on some of their relationships that they have with me. For example, individual members, like I think Catherine had a different view. And there's a whole other thing behind here about the opportunity. And we're looking at creating opportunity for our residents, but also for Tukwila's viability in the future financially. So I just appreciate the consistency, because whether it's TPA or we are consistent.
I don't have any questions, just praise for the work that you're doing, Brandon. I think it's been awesome. And, you know, maybe I think your next item is probably going to be pretty quick from us. We touched it a little bit, but great job. Derek.
Derek, you're muted.
Thank you. It just hit me, since we have the three of you captive for a minute, something that's not listed here, but it's something that we're going to be focusing on also this year, and at some point we may need some council help, is really continuing. We need to expand even the relationship with the mall. We have a great relationship. Brandon has built great relationships with the local mall folks. And in the past, if people had asked me, hey, you know, we hear all these things about malls going out of business and South Center, and I've always said, look, we have a super regional mall, super regional meaning it covers a very large region, and those are very different from the sub-regional malls and the regional malls. And our mall's been doing very well, and it is. But retail's always changing, experiences are always changing. And Westfield, because they did that merger sale, now it's, you know, Unibail, Rodamco, Westfield, and it's headquartered in Paris. This last year, Brandon and I have realized that I think Tukwila is going to have to step it up a notch with the mall in the future over the long-term vision and the long-term planning to make sure that we really keep moving it forward. So on this, my tune is changing now from what it was a few years ago, like, hey, it's okay, we're okay. We may need to be putting some more resources, and Brandon's going to be doing some work on that, but we don't want to highlight that you know, in a wide public arena. So just wanted to FYI on that.
And because when I think council members individually went in and talked to folks at Westfield just because they wanted to get to know us, and I believe it was the one that was like in Sacramento as well. I forget, is Australian. I forget the owner. That helps, but it's not something that we traditionally do consistently. So if there is a platform for this committee in this year, I will defer to the chair, but I think there is an opportunity to really, because the other thing is like they'll share with you the trends and the things that they need. And, you know, I'll just say back then it was that overpass thing, or their ability to permit a movie theater. And we saw the concept, we loved it, and we were like, we're gonna be supportive, but to have that initial conversation about this is the state of malls and where they're going, but here's what could make us a real strong partner. I think that's a great kind of work plan for this committee to just make themselves available to.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that. Derek, you're still on. You're on mute.
Sorry, I try to mute myself. I don't make a noise there. We'll definitely update you as opportunities arise on that. So, and it may be also about at some point, Tech Willow may need to take a lead even with the mall in terms of helping them see a future vision that's outside the boundaries of the mall. So it may be at some point, and I know Nora, we look at work on, you know, a comprehensive plan, but like, what else does a city do to bring in other things outside the mall that then also reinforces the mall? It's a synergistic relationship there. And that's all. Thank you for letting me say that.
All right. And our last agenda item are the applications for lodging tax funds. And yeah. There's action on this requested on this one.
Yes. So
consent. Go ahead, Brent.
My apologies. We have two funding requests. One is for the city. Both are from the city of Tukwila. One is for Experience Tukwila. This is for $140,000 to continue our Experience Tukwila marketing and digital initiative. So this includes we contract with a third party, a True Blue Strategy, who does a great job of managing our website, social media. They do the day-to-day. I do the overall strategy, and I do messaging, and I have access to I'm their project manager, but we do not have, you know, the resources that they bring. They bring a copywriter, they bring a strategic marketing person, digital photos, webmaster, marketing. Those types of resources they bring to us. And those are stuff that I can't find in like one person. So the monthly cost is about $8,500 a month to maintain. Plus we have additional projects we're doing. We need to do a photo shoot. I've been wanting to. We did it in 2020. We didn't do one in 2021 because we still have masks on. So I want to be able to do a photo shoot that hopefully this year we get past not having people have masks on. We also want to do some more videos to promote the city. I'm going to show you one of the videos that a current draft, time permitting here. I think you'll find it very great at highlighting the city. And then we want to do some SEO work, and we want to do a little bit of a refresh on our website. So that covers $140,000. We're asking that it goes to next week's special meeting on the consent agenda, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Kathy,
do we get to see the video?
Yes, I will. Is it all right if I share it, Chair?
Yes. Okay. Deshaun, do you have any questions before we show the video?
Yeah, just learning from the past around being thoughtful. I'm not on LTAC, but being thoughtful about how the discussion goes at the LTAC meeting, right?
So, yeah.
And being able to highlight those things, especially knowing we're asking this to go on consent. If there is just a red flag, even though we make the decisions, but go ahead.
So I apologize, and I should have led off with this. This was considered at last Friday's LTAC meeting. So LTAC has given their vote. I would have pulled it off the agenda. But LTAC voted in favor of it and forwarded it on to the council. I had to put the packet together before it went to LTAC, but it's already gone to LTAC.
You have detail-oriented council members, so.
Well, I it is great. It is. I'm making notes right now, so.
No, thank you. That would be my only concern. It sounds like we're ready to go.
Let me just show you. So I want to set the backstory here. We have, if you know who Eric Duchesne is, he is a professional rugby player. He is, we've made him somewhat of our spokesman for our city for our Experience Tukwila work. He has a great personality, a great story, went to the Air Force Academy, played professional rugby, has a nonprofit. He's working to improve people's lives. And so we had him do some videos with us, and we hope to use him next year as well. The videos that you're going to see now is our first draft. It is not going to be our draft that goes live, but I want to use it to kind of just show you what some work that we've done with the Experience Tukwila funding. Give me a second. It was up here. Oh, I just got to close these. Okay. So you should be able to hear the audio. If you don't, let me know.
Hi, I'm Eric Duchelle, professional rugby player and big fan of the community that surrounds my team, the Seawolves. When I found out Tequila and Urban Artworks started their citywide public art program, I was psyched. It connects artists with public spaces to celebrate and engage the community. Let's check it out and talk to some of the artists.
Could you give us the name of your art and describe a little bit of it?
Sure. The mural is called Bird Friends of Tukwila, and it's basically sort of a loose drawing of a lot of the birds that I've seen in this neighborhood. I live about 2 miles away, and I know that the park where the mural is located, which is Tukwila Park, is where a lot of bird watchers go locally. So I tried to kind of grab a few of the birds from my neighborhood and this neighborhood and combine them in a pretty cartoony rendition of what this area looks like.
The name of the piece is the Sham God. Sham God is the name of a basketball player that was famous in the 90s for being one of the first streetball players to make it into the NBA.
Yeah.
And he had this signature move that he crafted on the streetball court that he brought into the NBA.
My piece is located in Tukwila. It's at a beautiful park called Riverton Park. It is a concrete slab that just needed a little bit of love. And so what we did was we painted these circles as activation spots, almost like lily pads on a pond. It's to encourage people to run back and forth between. In the center is a little varied thrush, which is a Pacific Northwest bird.
What does a piece like this, with all its color and energy, what does that do for the people here in Tukwila?
I think any time you have a chance to add color to Tukwila is a great thing. I think it energizes the community. It's a sense of vibrancy in what could otherwise be a gray environment.
I think the cool thing about this mural in particular is it's on the wall of a utility building. So it's a space that is not inherently thought of as super fun or I think inviting. And so I really like the ability to put something on it that just kind of invites people to go a little further into the park. You can see it right at the entrance of the park. And then if you walk in just in front of the mural, you can see there's a playground, there's nature trails. So there's all these things in the park. I just like that it's, you know, a way to kind of invite you into the park.
When you have that partnership, when you have an artist that comes into the community that's hired by the city, it's showing that community matters, that you're wanting to create a sense of home, like it's a gift.
So with your art pieces, what do you think is the importance of public art to the community?
The best thing for me is when it's a conversation starter, whether that's something that people can rally around or gather near. It's just a really cool way for art to kind of influence the environment and for the environment to influence the art.
I think public art is one of those art forms that sort of transcends the barriers that sometimes you find in galleries and museums. For me to create art that I know anybody off the street, any kid walking by can see it and be inspired by it.
Do you think rugby players can be artists?
Oh yeah, why not? If artists could be rugby players, then rugby players can be artists.
I do. I definitely think you can do whatever speaks to you. So that might be painting, it might be spray painting. You can make little sculptures in your backyard. There's so many ways to create something that might cause someone to just stop and take a closer look.
I think you are an artist as a rugby player. I think as a rugby player, you are trying to create something from nothing sometimes. You are an artist.
I like that answer.
Thank you. No, and thank you for your support on these. So just this is the longer video, and we are going to do snapshots, of course, for social media to create little smaller segments. We're finding that now on social media, it's all about videos. You know, it went from words to photos to videos, and so we need to invest some more of these. And since we're still starting from scratch, we still have to build up our library. So that's and there's two more videos. One focuses on Starfire, the other one focuses on Spicebridge.
So I have a question. Can I ask? This is just tangential to our conversation, but I love that art. Can we have that like on postcards or something? I want some of that like framed in my house because it's Tukwila and I love it. And so has that ever been a conversation?
Not with tourism and economic development, but we can reach out to parks. I mean, it's not uncommon for what you're saying, actually. I mean, you'll see postcards that people will use of a specific art display. One of the things that we have talked with Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority on is working on a map of all the art in Seattle Southside so that when visitors come here, they easily can know in the three communities what type of art's available. But no, it is something that we can definitely look at doing as we move forward.
Yeah, and
art can be wayfinding.
Yeah.
Yes. Totally.
I was going to say, and also maybe expanding the contract on the artists. You know, so that they're reimbursed for that part of it too.
So, Councillor, the chair, the next item is the Seawolves funding request. Can I move on to that one?
Yep.
So, the next item is a funding request for the Seattle Sea. It's for the city of Tukwila. We would contract with the Seawolves on a partnership agreement. We're requesting $40,000. Last year we did $20,000. Before the pandemic hit, we were at around $35,000. So this is getting us back to kind of what we had been doing with the Seawolves. The Seawolves have a great – they're so easy to work with. They want to help us. We want to help them. It's because of them that I think we got the X5 series in Tukwila now, and as well as the Rugby Sevens. You know, we are known as the epicenter of soccer in the Pacific Northwest. I think the next thing that is, can we be known as the epicenter of rugby in the Pacific Northwest? I did have a fun one I wanted to show you that shows kind of how experienced Tukwila and let me just go through these real fast. How the two kind of merge with each other. Sharing my screen. So we had this interesting idea last year of that I had the idea of what if we created a hunting license and we issued a hunting license to the Seawolves for their upcoming season, and True Blue turned it around real quickly. So in December we issued the Seawolves your hunting license is issued for 2022. The mayor and council president Kohler signed it. And we released that just as a fun little thing, and then we started getting a lot of fun play on social media. So this person said, this is freaking hilarious, and I love the city of Tukwila even more now. Maybe this could be a regular merchandise item or something thrown in with orders from the Seawolves. So what we have are starting to research is creating a little digital hunting license that we would issue to Seawolves fans, and it would be something that if you go to restaurants, Spice Bridge or whatever, you'd get a little discount. So we're still researching how that would work and the logistics of we don't want to be getting certain information from people because we're a public agency, so can we have the Seawolves do some of it to kind of, you know, we don't want people's addresses and stuff. So, but that is something that's included in that request as well.
Very cool. Questions from council members. Councilmember Hogarty. Councilmember Quinn? No.
No questions, but, I mean, hunting license, who would have thought? Are there other licenses as well that we can pull people in, you know? I don't know how we linked up with the hunting license, but, you know, I could see a food handler permit, you know, or something like that as a way to pull people in and show that, you know, and it would be something cool, you know. So I like the hunting season. That's just perfect for rugby.
Yeah, and I should have given this context. Their slogan that they use is "Together We Hunt." And so that's how they kind of talk about their season and bringing the fans in. So we hunt together because orca whales hunt in pods. And so that's kind of as in groups. So that's kind of how this whole thing came about.
Very creative. I don't know if a food handler's permit would fit that same. But very, very creative. I don't have any questions. How are my fellow council members feeling? Are we approving both requests to go to consent? Yes. Okay. Great.
So a fun thing kind of building following up on Councilmember Quinn's comment, years ago when the Timbers were playing the Sounders at Starfire Stadium, this is when they played their U.S. Open Cups there. This is before Experience Tukwila existed, but we used the city of Tukwila's Twitter page and stuff. We issued a tweet that said your tree clearing permit has now been issued to the Sounders, and it was a picture of a wood chipper chipping timbers. And the Sounders reposted that, so that was a fun little post that we did kind of building off of that kind of stuff.
Nice. All right. Well, we got through our agenda tonight. Does anyone have – I'll save my miscellaneous because it was more for some of the folks in Nora's shop. So I'm going to save that one for our next meeting. But – Kathy or Deshaun, do you have anything additional? All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Oh, I did want to say I definitely, being on this committee, it's another example. I don't know why I was able to do it, but I get to sit on another committee that Cynthia chairs, and I think this group of council members is going to already start it. Like, there's enough experience and goodwill, we're going to be a really rocking committee here.
We just want to say thank you for your interest, and also give us your other feedback during the year. Don't hesitate. And if you hear concerns, we actually want to hear concerns. If you're hearing concerns, you know, it helps us improve too. But
and if you know of anything fun happening in the event, in the community, any person doing something fun or exciting, it's something for Experience Tukwila. It's not just all authentic communities are about, you know, about the people. And so, you know, we love good stories that we could use. I don't think I'll use John Ehrlichman as being the city attorney anytime soon in the 1960s, but, you know, kids doing things that, And every so often our posts on social media get picked up by the regular media, and that's great. And so just let us know that, and we can run with it. We have the resources to promote it.
I think there's an opportunity. There are some people in this community that do a lot for the community but never get recognized. I think that would also be really cool to do, you know, something about that too. And I know we do want to get like internet clicks and stuff like that, but it's also a representation of like the really thoughtful people that are here. And so I'm just thinking of, and it's not always the people that we see all the time, but there's the woman who's out picking up trash and in parts of the neighborhood who then became available to help somebody when they were stuck. I mean, there are some things, some just like you don't get it anywhere else, but you definitely get it in Tukwila kind of thing. There's some seniors at Tukwila Village that do stuff that are really active. So I just think about that as well as a consideration, because there's just some good people that I just am watching on Facebook and just saying, wow, that's just amazing that they would put themselves out there on behalf of the community without trying to get recognition, just doing a thing, you know?
And I think that's where we come in to help bring stories to Brandon. So when you see these things, Brandon, you gave us an open invitation to send you stuff.
Well, and I'm going to give you another tag us on your social media account. So if you see something that's great for Tukwila, you know, tag at Experience Tukwila. We'll show up in Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And if it's relevant and if it's something that we think we can use, we will use it. We will reshare it. So there's something happened last week, and it was a post about Spicebridge tagged us, thanking them for helping them. We funded their website. Us and the Port of Seattle funded their website, and they thanked us. We shared it as soon as they posted it. So I also do – I search Twitter and Facebook and Instagram for Tukwila being mentioned anytime I can, and I share the good stuff I see. So
and you see it all.
Yeah, and there's some stuff that I Derek probably doesn't want me commenting, but I'm like, you're wrong on this. So please, that's, you know, that's in the city of SeaTac. Thank you, but no. So.
All right. Well, thank you all, and we'll see you next.